I suspect a heavy majority of our congregation here would be able to correctly answer the question, what is the anniversary of the Eucharist? And actually, most of you would probably also know that the anniversary of the Eucharist is also the anniversary of priesthood. Priests and deacons gather on the morning of Holy Thursday to celebrate what we call the Chrism Mass, to celebrate the holy orders that we're blessed to have. And then, of course, in the evening, all across the globe, we have the Mass of the Lord's Supper, where we have the institution of the Eucharist. Take this and eat. This is my body. Take this and drink. This is my blood. Do this in memory of me. And we appreciate as well the lead-in and perhaps the most recognizable part of the Last Supper, which is the washing of the feet. Jesus, with less than 24 hours left to his life, is on his hands and knees washing the dirty, gritty feet of his apostles, even of his betrayer, Judas. And then, of course, we, in appreciating Jesus' gift to the apostles and ultimately to us, we begin to appreciate that this didn't just happen randomly, happenstance. Jesus was establishing the foundation for this back at the time of today's scriptures. Jesus, the bread of heaven, his flesh for the life of the world, Jesus in that bread of life discourse that we've been following, has the people prepped for what he's going to ultimately illuminate the apostles in. Now, you know, we want to have a real appreciation for the fact that this was not an easy task. People were not open to what Jesus was sharing with this. Partly they were confused, but partly they were so limited in their belief in what he was capable of. Although there should hardly have been a doubt. Just 2 weeks ago, we heard the spectacular story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. With 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And recognizing as he does so and passing on the understanding to us that before we're going to be able to spiritually feed people, we have to physically feed them. If their minds are distracted by the pangs of hunger, you're not going to get too much through on a religious basis. And of course, that first reading today gives us a little bit of a look at that. The great prophet Elijah, he's laying his head down to die. Like so many of the people of that time, the drought and the famine have just dissipated his strength, and he's ready to fall asleep and die under that broom tree. But the angel nudges him awake, and there's a hearth cake and a jug of water there. And he consumes some of that and then falls back asleep again, assuming that was probably his last meal. But the angel awakens him again. He has work to do, and he must have the strength to complete his journey to Mount Horeb. So Jesus was establishing the importance of physically feeding people, and that's then when he brings the understanding that he is the bread that came down from heaven. And we know from last week's reading that the Jews bristled at that. You know, they had certainly the experience of the journey through the desert when Moses led them. They had the experience of the hoarfrost that was able to become bread. Moses brought them bread from heaven, and Jesus corrects them and said it wasn't Moses who did anything. It was our Father in heaven, God. And I am his bread that comes down from heaven. I am the one that can promise eternal life. And just as in his earlier appearance in Nazareth, People murmur and say, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" We, of course, are blessed to have the perspective of 2,000 years. We know that though Joseph was his foster father and Mary was his natural biological mother, that the male part of his anatomy comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God in heaven. He is truly Son of God. And Jesus wants them, before they even begin to grasp bread of life and his flesh for the life of the world, he wants them to understand that the Father and he are one. He says, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God." Yeah, we have wonderful insights by the prophets, and we appreciate the courage that they had to show, but they weren't perfect in their presentation. Jesus was, is God. We hear the fullness of truth with him. And whoever believes has eternal life, says Jesus. "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." A new thought inserted into this bread of life discourse. But not until we can appreciate, with the perspective of 20 centuries, that what we gather to do here, what we gather in celebrating the Eucharist, is exactly what Jesus promises. And as we celebrate the Eucharist, we do so conscious that eternal life awaits us. But Jesus has moved on, though, from bread of life to his flesh for the life of the world. We're going to hear a couple more passages from that bread of life discourse in the week, the 2 weeks to come. And it has very much to do with the fact that Jesus, having begun to have them understand with the bread of life message, now he wants them to make that last step and recognize that what we're eating is his flesh, drinking his blood, the sacrifice that he offers on the cross. And that's, of course, what we do in our Eucharist. We talk about this being the table, but also the altar. We recognize that Jesus is the final sacrifice. There's no more pigeons or turtle doves or lambs or whatever to sacrifice. Jesus is the final sacrifice. And yet it says more people left him over this than any other teaching. But Jesus, at peace with all of that, says, "All right, if they're going to leave, they're going to leave. I'm not going to chase him down and say, 'No, no, no, I didn't really mean my flesh and blood.'" No, he did mean that. The bread that is his body, the wine that is his blood, consecrated. The bread of life for us. It's a great privilege. We take it for granted. I know I do. But we, I think, need only visit with people who are starved for the Eucharist to appreciate how blessed we are to have it for us each and every weekend, sometimes for some each and every day. So we recognize Jesus as the bread of life, as the fullness of truth, one who has given his flesh and blood for our salvation, and we treasure that reality.